This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. There have been some fairly glaring allegations of sexual harassment in the workplace of late. The New York Times reporting that Fox has paid millions of dollars to settle claims against host Bill O'Reilly. Uber and reports have ignored harassment complaints there, which means somebody at those companies didn't pay attention to those online training sessions often required of employees or management to prevent exactly these kinds of things. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams looks at the business of harassment awareness.
When it comes down to it, people who want to cross the line at work are going to cross the line at work.
Hey, sexy. Ooh, nice scarf.
You know, you should show off just a little bit more, though.
But companies still spend millions on video and online training, like what you just heard, showing their employees and managers how to spot, avoid, and respond to sexual harassment in the workplace.
Jokes and banter in the workplace help lighten the mood and build camaraderie. But it's important to recognize when a joke could be offensive to others.
In some places, companies are required by law to offer these programs, but
the biggest reason that companies do workplace harassment training is because it gives them a special legal defense when it comes to being sued.
Marcia McCormick is a law professor at St. Louis University. She says if a company can prove it made a good faith effort to limit harassment in the workplace, a judge or jury may limit the company's liability when someone working there breaks the law. But giving your company legal cover isn't the only reason, says Sandra Solovey. She's a VP with Workplace Answers. That's their video you've been hearing.
Savvy organizations have realized that it's not just about compliance, but it's actually about making your organization run as productively as possible.
Because workplace harassment can not only be traumatizing to the victim, but distracting and demoralizing for other employees. Hundreds of companies offer so-called compliance programs, but they vary widely, and it's not clear they actually help, according to St. Louis University's McCormick.
Interestingly, there is very little empirical evidence on whether or not harassment training is successful.
It's a tough thing to quantify. Harassment claims may go up because employees feel more emboldened to file reports.
And sometimes employees need to be courageous and do what's right. They have to take a stand and speak up.
Or the training may just backfire and reinforce existing stereotypes. A recent Equal Employment Opportunity Commission task force called for more consistency in training. Law professor Elizabeth Tippett at the University of Oregon reviewed dozens of training programs as part of her research. She says even with so little to go on, employers buy the training anyway.
It is a really strange market for services because in the market for these trainings, it's not necessarily about the best, but what's recognizable as a harassment training to the employer and to a court.
But as the many high-profile cases have shown lately, the real issue is corporate culture. Ingrid Ferdin is VP and Senior Product Manager at compliance firm Navex Global. She calls them permissive cultures.
I call them permissive because they're cultures where we either turn a blind eye to misconduct or worse yet, we actually condone it.
Ferdin says about three-quarters of companies provide some type of harassment training, and at the bigger ones, it can easily add $100,000 to the annual budget. But it only works when company leadership is on board.
And no matter what, you can do a ton of training and you can do a ton of work internally, but when your leadership is fundamentally challenged in that way, you're not going to ever secure that full legal defense.
And your company will just be a rotten place to work. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.